Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Jeff Dickerson, our guy, who thinks, because I heard him saying on another show that I grilled him like it was A Few Good Men the other day. I did not. Did not. He's brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. I was just fired up. I was just passionate. I love JD. I love his son, Parker. JD joins us now. I was not grilling you. I was just fired up.
You were very yelly on Monday. Very yelly. Guys,
it's just called passion.
We all need to unite against the common enemy, the Bears. I'm just kidding, of course. I'm just kidding. No, but listen, this was a very emotional week for some. And here's what I want to say. For everyone that questions those of us that cover the Bears, and they wonder, why do you fine men and women, although most of us are not described as fine men and women that cover the team by many, why are you so unwilling to give the Bears the benefit of the doubt before they earn it? Well, guys, you got your answer on Wednesday. I mean, what left is there to say? Clearly, there is a gap between what is real and what the team believes is real. And I think reality shows that this is a franchise that just isn't getting it. And they're not winning enough, as Ted Phillips said. And I think Ted's statement, those 19 words that he uttered on Wednesday, are going to live in infamy. I mean, those are going to be, when you talk about all the pieces are in place, Wani and Trestman saying that we're going to be selfish and undisciplined. I think Ted's saying that, have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there. One-third of that statement is accurate. They have not won enough games. Everything else is not true. The quarterback situation has been far from even close to being right. And there are so many other issues they have to deal with that you cannot possibly say that, except for winning games and having a quarterback, that the Bears as a franchise are humming along. I think most people see that, but this is the message they choose to project publicly, and here we go. So again, like, people that see this up close and personal, it took me 1 year, 2004, to sort of realize how things work, okay? So I've lived in this reality for over 15 years. I mean, this is just how it is, and this is why they just are not consistent winners. And based on the stuff you heard on Wednesday, they are still a far way away from being that type of model franchise they strive to be.
Listening to George McCaskey on Waddle and Silva yesterday, the thing that resonated with me the most, JD, is that George McCaskey is fine with status quo. Because having a president of football operations or another voice in the room would disrupt the harmony that they have of Ted to George to Ryan Pace to Matt Nagy. And I will ask you this, based on everything you know around the National Football League, are other organizations structured the same in which the GM is the final say? How do you look at the National Football League and their structure versus what the Bears do?
Not every team has a personnel person over the GM. And some teams, and now Jacksonville is going to fall into this category, Jonathan, with Urban Meyer, right? The head coach is going to be the all-powerful person. And you and I both know how that's going to work out. Not well. It's not going to work. But they'll do it. And they'll, you know what? It's good for Duval. They're going to sell tickets. They really are.
Absolutely.
They're going to get better. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. And this is not going to ultimately work because you can't give a head coach the power. It just doesn't work. But whatever. They will run it back and try it again. So not every franchise has that, you know, like what I would say they need is they need a president of football operations. They need a president And then it needs to go to Ryan, and then Ryan goes to his staff, goes to Josh Lucas, and goes to Mark Sadowski, who's very good as a college scout.
And very good broadcaster, too.
And then, tremendous on those Bulls broadcasts.
Mark Sadowski.
And then, Mark Sadowski's been there forever. Listen, he's got very good people there at those positions. But I just feel like from an accountability standpoint, we heard a lot about accountability on Wednesday. There just isn't the accountability over the general manager that I really think there needs to be. Look, I think George McCaskey is probably the most passionate Bears fan you will ever meet. To say that he doesn't care about the product on the field is an outright lie. He loves the Bears. It is his life, okay? But unfortunately, he just owns the team. I mean, there was never any sort of progression into being in the role where you now really oversee the hirings and firings of the people in charge of the organization. So, I mean, I just don't think that since he's taken over that there's been a great track record as far as head coaches and GMs coming and going. And I understand, you know, and Ted said something that does make a lot of sense, okay? I agree that firing people is the last thing anyone wants to do. No one wants to fire anybody and uproot families and destroy lives. However, this is a twofold thing. Number one, this is the profession they signed up for. This is much different than what normal people do, right? Coaches, guys, as we know, scouts, executives, they're very transient people. That's sort of the career they signed up for. But then I go back to sort of Ted. I'm like, Ted, you've been the president since 1999. I mean, maybe we're not talking about firing Ryan or the scouts. Maybe your position needs to be reevaluated. So, I mean, the Bears, not every franchise has that structure, but I think the Bears don't need to worry about that. They need to do what is best for them, and right now they are not doing what's best for them, and I wish they would realize that.
Two things. One, I know your response. You don't even have to spend any time on it. I believe the Urban Meyer decision is magnificent and that fan base is juiced up. And the article in SI about him trying to build a culture and that all the research he's done over a 6-year period of what it would take to be successful in the NFL. If I was a Jags fan, I would be over the moon today. Okay, that's to the side. As you look, they're not going anywhere. Let me be clear, JD. If I owned the Bears, I would have cleaned house, okay? I would have got a new regime. I'd have a different structure, the whole thing. That's not happening. I feel way better that Matt Nagy is going to have the loudest voice in the room when they work out and investigate all the quarterbacks, because the Chiefs, as Dan Wiederer pointed out to us yesterday, were 27 with their pick. The year they got Patrick Mahomes, they were able to finagle their way up to get him, and right, he's going to go down as a top 10 guy. So I like that Matt is involved where John Fox was kept in the dark.
Well, of course. I mean, there was nothing else they could do there. I mean, if they were going to keep both of those guys, and they know they got to find a quarterback, and people roll their eyes at the whole working together thing, like they legit need Nagy to spearhead this. Now some people might say, well, it didn't work out with Trubisky and the Nick Foles thing. That's very different. We're talking about finding a young quarterback who might not be in a position to start right away next year, but they got to begin this process. I wrote this today, and I hope it doesn't come across as too crass, you know? Like on the late night shows, you can be crass. You know, in your time slot here, this is very on the up and up, okay? Very respectable, okay? I mean, the Bears to me are like a kid or a person who refuses to take swimming lessons, and then every 5 to 10 years just jumps in the deep end of the pool. Mm-hmm. You know? Like they don't build towards the move they make. Like they just neglect the position. They neglect it. They neglect it. They neglect it. Oh, here's Jay. They neglect it. They neglect it. They neglect it. Whoa, we're going to trade up for Mitch. They neglect it. They neglect it. They need to start building something at that position. There needs to be, in my opinion, a fundamental understanding of the quarterback position. Where is the vision? Now, Cap, Nagy's a former quarterback, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He is a former quarterback. This is what he does. Mm-hmm. He's got some guys on his staff that play quarterback. Hopefully now that they are let into the process, that this will change and it will help and they will begin. And they don't have to hit a grand slam this offseason. It would help They don't have to. Just start the process, the pipeline of bringing in some young quarterbacks and attempting to develop them. You can't get better if you don't try to get better. And for the longest time, they just weren't really trying. And when they tried, it was a bad idea, like a Mike Glennon. Mitch was an honest effort. It was the honestest thing to do, and they just missed, okay? But, I mean, after that, why then in those next 2 years, in 18-19, before the Foles trade, were the Bears still not trying to bring in some people, younger people, to, just in case the Trubisky thing did not work out? Instead, you got Chase Daniel, who was of no threat to unseat Mitch whatsoever because they're too set in stone. So I agree, Jonathan and Cap. I think that Nagy is going to help this, and I think he will probably have a – not saying it's going to be the loudest, but it's going to be a very loud voice in the process.
So the Bills – I'm sorry, not the Bills. The Kansas City Chiefs are at the top of the mountain. That's where all teams want to be. Who's second amongst these four games that we're going to see that the Bears should try to emulate?
I think the Packers and Chiefs will be the Super Bowl. What do you think about that? I think Packers, Chiefs.
Well, the Packers seem to have an easier road this year than the years past, right? There's no dynamic 49er team in the way. Is that fair to say in the NFC?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know what I think, actually? I think I want to see how the Saints play this weekend, Jonathan.
We'll see.
Because I kind of feel like the Bears, believe it or not, caught them at a time where they were just getting all those great players back from injury and from the COVID list and everything with Kamara and Michael Thomas. I wonder how much better they'll be this weekend against Tampa because those guys are now in the building actually practicing more leading up to that game than they were against the Bears last weekend. I don't think we've heard the end of the Saints. I think Packers-Saints, if that's how it plays out, would be a tremendous conference championship game.
So, Cap, if you couldn't be the Chiefs, if I couldn't be the Chiefs as an organization, wouldn't I want to be the Ravens?
I'd want to be Buffalo.
You believe that strongly in Josh Allen, though?
Yes.
Buffalo's exciting. Buffalo's an exciting team.
Sean, I think Josh Allen's going to be an all-pro.
Yeah, they got a really good – talk about good front office structures there. They've really figured it out in Buffalo.
And they had a culture that had to be completely
horrible.
Overhauled.
And their ownership was not well thought of, not well received.
You notice you don't hear the names Terry and Kim Pegula anymore in the headlines. They're in the background.
Off. I don't know if they're focused on the Sabres or whatever now, but, I mean, they have backed off. And they have put some real football people in place there. They have empowered them. And they have made some tremendous roster decisions. I think the Bills
reading about Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and their they talk the same word, collaboration. They hit on their quarterback.
Right. And I think that Nagy and Pace can have a good relationship. I just think, you know, when I was listening on Wednesday, my first thought, except besides, you know, this is crazy talk here.
And why am I getting the first question?
Well, I got the first question to Matt and Ryan.
Yes.
I almost didn't get called on for George and Ted. I got kicked off a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
That's the worst. That when you're on call, when you're like your hand is raised and you're like, oh my God, they're gonna call on me if I get kicked, and I'm kicked off this thing. So I barely got that one into George, but luckily they called on me first for the other guys. My first thought was, look, if they're being completely honest, Mitch is gone. He's gone. There's no way that Nagy wants Mitchell Trubisky to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears in 2021. So if this is really going to be the buzzword collaborative effort here, then Ryan Pace needs to just accept that and move on. And I think they will. I think they will, and I can't see how Mitch is back in the fold here. I just think that they really need to find a quarterback that suits what the head coach wants to do, whatever that may be. I'm not saying he's perfect and the offense is perfect, but that really stood out to me. And then Pace saying that they know they need more from that position. Finally, I thought some honesty about that spot.
Completely agree. I made enough calls last night that any source everyone said it is less than 0% that Mitch will be back.
I don't believe there's any way they can bring him back. If you really want to signify progress, Cap, if you really want to show people that you are trying to move in a different direction,
you move in a different direction.
You move in a different direction.
Hey, man, have a great weekend.
Guys, have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk next week.
Ask Parker for your allowance. I think he got paid today.
He's actually been good this morning. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a meter hitting the planet later on today. I don't know. But he's actually been good.
Have a good day.
Bye.
There he is, the great Jeff Dickerson. How would Lewis Riddick fix the Bears quarterback situation? You'll hear that next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rock and roll. Welcome back. Cap, Jay, what are you shaking your head for, Danny? Hoodie and I are discussing something important.
No, it has nothing to do with what you guys... I'm shaking my head because literally in unison when... A little behind the curtains here before we get to what Lewis Riddick said about the Bears quarterback. JR or Jeff Miller, whoever's running the board playing the music, doesn't get to choose the music. It comes up randomly. Mm-hmm. And the second we both heard this, we both went, oh, man.
This is Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, way to take the air out of a segment.
Rolling.
Oh,
yeah, okay. He's only
maybe. And then you're like, rock and roll.
Yeah, because he's awesome. Awesome. Told you. I've been working with Mike to upgrade the music around here. Mike's really amazing at a lot of things. I had to get involved on the music. What do you want me to tell you?
You don't even know half the names of the bands.
I know they sound good. That's all that matters.
Okay.
I didn't have to know his name was Patrick Mahomes to know he's good.
You probably should know his name. You're a talk show host.
What does he play for?
It'd be good for you to know the team and his name. You know, it's Springsteen. It's not one of my favorites from Springsteen, no.
When we get our lives back and he's playing somewhere like Wrigley or Soldierville, we're going.
Who's we're?
You and me.
Kemosabe.
Who's you
and
me.
Shot.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
100%.
That would be like Where's Waldo?
Wow. I never cease to amaze.
I certainly will stand out in that crowd, wouldn't I?
Lewis Riddick.
Lonely heart!
I'd be hungry.
Well, there are a lot of sports media members that like that.
It was a lot of like Blackhawks beat writers there. Anyway.
Hey.
Lewis Riddick was on with Waddle and Sylvie. And the question was posed to Lewis about finding the next Bears quarterback. Pay attention.
Yeah, it's a tough situation because when you're looking at a must-win year, then obviously, when you're trying to kind of dance with two devils, so to speak, you're trying to satisfy the short term and build for the long term. Well, I think when you're in it and you're the GM and or the head coach, obviously many of your decisions are going to be geared towards, hey, let me kind of survive this year and make decisions that will just get me through the coming year that is must-win, and then I'll worry about the future later on. And a lot of times that can backfire, especially if those short term gambles that you make, don't pan out, and then the next regime has to pick up the slack and kind of clean up the mess that you leave. Obviously, you're probably going to be geared towards, especially a quarterback, looking for some kind of veteran mid level veteran type of option in order to get you out of it. Meaning this, someone who's not, on the last year of their career, last 2 or 3 years, where you know they're much closer to the end than the beginning. You want someone who maybe has had a good start to their career for whatever reason, the situation hasn't worked out wherever they are at, and you know they have a lot of good football left, and you think that they can provide you the kind of spark that you need. Now, I know that probably leads you to think, well, that sounds like a certain kind of quarterback, like maybe in Houston or something like that. Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about. But then it comes a matter of the pricing mechanism. I mean, what do you think it would take for Houston to let go of Deshaun Watson to go anywhere right now? And do you even have that kind of capital? And is it worth going ahead and just mortgaging everything in order to get a guy like that, especially knowing this? If it doesn't work, you're gone. And from a management perspective, from a higher-up management perspective, if it doesn't work, then you've totally hamstrung the organization for whoever's coming in after that. So it's a terrible situation to get put in. It's one of those situations that every organization is trying to avoid like hell, but that's where the Bears find themselves.
It feels like transition to me. Because think about it from this standpoint, Cap. You do bring in that quarterback that you covet, that you draft, right? You bring that quarterback in. And you underachieve. You're 4-12 as you predicted, or 5-11. Okay, so you can't justify bringing that coaching staff back. after a couple 8-8s, and then you go to 5-11 or 4-12. So it just feels like it would feel like Trubisky. Trubisky's got to deal with several coaching staffs instead of having one he could believe in.
Correct. It's also like bringing him in and say, like, the whole process we've already detailed. Ryan went rogue. If you're right, you look like a hero. If you're wrong, you look like a boob.
Yep.
And as you look at the whole situation, we've heard the collaboration, we've heard all of that. But, hey, man, the bottom line is you have to have a safety net so that Hoodie says, I'm going to go do that. You're going to do what? Hold on a minute. Let's all put our heads together and make, is that the best thing for the Bears? Let's. And in the end, we may come to the same decision.
Right.
But let's have a safety net so it's not one guy who might get blinded. Well, wait a minute. He doesn't read the defense very well. Well, we can work on that. No, actually, we've learned you can't. Either you have that or you don't
have it. Yeah. I think that we saw that with Trubisky. You kind of learned that he just doesn't have it.
Like if I said to you, I'm going to give you a guy whose work ethic is off the charts, first in the building, last out. I'm going to give you a guy who gets the culture thing. I'm going to give you a guy who works his tail off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you a guy who plays with injury. I'm going to get you a guy who's athletic. Sure. He can run. He's got a strong arm. I'm going to also get you a guy who understands being out in the community and all of that. Can he win you games?
That's the thing. I love all those intangibles you just laid out there. Mm-hmm. But he's productive enough to be a difference maker. Now, everybody that you have on a roster cannot be cornerstones. But if you, when you find the ones that are, man, you got something. You got a real find in those players.
Like if you had said, yeah, I really like this Mahomes kid, but boy, he's been in jail twice and he has this allegation and then I don't know if I want to bring. This guy was like 10 star as a teammate, as a guy, son of a professional athlete,
yeah.
Grew up around professionals, like gets it. Wow. Okay, let's talk to him. This Deshaun Watson guy, he's transferred 4 times. He's not a good dude, but he's got really good. No, he's actually, according to his coach, the best leader he's ever coached. He's an amazing player. He's rehabbed from injury and proved to you that he can win on the biggest stage, beating Nick Saban in the national title game after losing at the same level
sure.
the year before. Like, that's what doesn't make sense.
Nope, I'll take the project. You know why? I'll take the project and we win. Now I'm a genius.
Right.
Now I'll take another job that'll be even bigger than the Bear job.
Right.
Right? That's how they look at it. You know, here's I want to do it today. Let's do it today, Friday, January 15th. It starts with you, Sylvie, listening to the show right now with your yellow pad. You have to be the start of this. We have to stop talking about Louis Riddick in a GM job, especially in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It makes too much sense. Compare what you've heard from Pace and compare what you hear from Louis Riddick on Waddle and
Night and day.
I mean, it's like, so as much as Sylvie has been the one to really pound the pulpit, beat the drum for Louis Riddick, imagine that guy, thoughtful, layered, makes a lot of football sense at House Hall. Oh my God, it would be like night and day.
Night and day.
So it's like, we are asking for it, but it'll never happen. Do you think that Louis Riddick is a McCaskey guy?
Probably not.
How about vice versa? Is McCaskey a Louis Riddick guy?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
But see, the thing is, when you set down a plan of action, hey, I'm going to hire this guy, Jonathan Hood. I'm going to put him at night for a while, and then I am going to develop him, and he's going to be my morning guy. Well, then do it. Follow through on your plan. Let him develop over a few years, and then put him there, and let's see if he truly is the guy that can do that job. If you believe in him, stick to your plan. Same thing with, I'm going to draft this kid. He had 13 career starts. He's not playing under any circumstances a rookie. Not playing. I don't care if Mike Glennon stinks. He's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 4 games in. Our team sucks. We have no chance. Get up. You're in. And learn that offense, and then I'm going to fire that guy and learn a new offense.
And this is all what happened with the Bears.
It's all fact.
So, yeah, it's all what happened with the Bears. I'm just telling you that, you know, listening to Louis Riddick over the years with Waddle and Sylvie, and he comes on this show from time to time as well, his layered thought process tells me that he'd be a terrific GM in the NFL. But when I hear Ryan Pace, that sounds like that's exactly what McCaskey likes. Nice guy, but is not necessarily
going to ruffle feathers.
He's not going to ruffle feathers and overwhelm the room with thoughts.
Correct.
Louis Riddick already has a plan for the Bears. He doesn't even work for the Bears, but has a thoughtful plan on how the Bears can get better.
We take you through the Friday folder next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah.
All right, we take you through the Friday folder. The Friday folder is a creation of the great Jonathan Hood and Daniel N. Zetterman.
It's a collaborative effort.
It's a collaborative effort. You two collaborate. Who's Pace, who's Nagy?
He and I are like John Lennon and Paul McCartney on this show. God.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm Ringo.
And you're Yoko. Just so you know,
that'd be Loco.
Okay.
if he's Yoko, then you're Lennon.
That's fine.
Wow.
I'll take that.
You can take that.
Yeah. I interrupted Monday Night Football with my death. Excuse me. Pardon me. Howard Cosell to report. John Lennon has been shot. Like, what?
Taken to whatever he goes. Taken to whatever hospital. Dead on arrival.
Have you ever heard that call? I mean,
yeah,
it's
It just.
Wow.
There was no different gear for him.
None.
Just like, just not somber, just direct.
Just devastating news. No, it's
dead on arrival.
That's so sad. And that's how you got your news back then, kids. You just get it through Monday Night Football.
Brick in the face.
First down and 10.
First and 10. By the way, John Lennon, dead on arrival.
Sad.
We've got that in the vault somewhere. That thing is...
Cab, you know that we played it on this show like 2 weeks... Okay, because you just asked Hoodie... Have you heard it? And then you said we have it somewhere in the vault.
Danny, you're better than that. The audience changes every 5 minutes, but let alone every day.
But your partner doesn't. you asked
But
Hood.
Everyone listening
But you asked
does.
Hood.
You're
you
better.
Asked Hood.
Danny, you're better than
you're
that.
You asked Hood. Now you're getting defensive.
This is why we have the Friday folder.
Correct.
We have this because we can never get to stuff because of silly arguments like you just heard right there.
Correct.
Taking up valuable time on the show. So the things that we missed, that's why we have the Friday folder.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Ah, yes. We go through the files.
Love this song.
The Friday folder. We turn it over now to Danny Zetterman. What's some of the stuff that we missed this week?
All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to hit you with something new that just happened. This is from Jeff Passan. Second baseman DJ LeMahieu.
Cubs. Back to the Cubs.
And the New York Yankees are finalizing a six-year, $90 million contract.
That's just what we need is a bat, Danny. Someone who makes contact. Really? Were we in there?
Well, here's the thing I think about with DJ LeMahieu. I don't think about him as a former Cub. I just look at him as, okay, you know what? He was with the team. You never look back, though. The team has had success since LeMahieu left. Yeah, you wish you had him now, but I think you never look back. You already had your success without him, so it's fine.
Just what they need is a guy who is a contact guy. Just what they need. We're broke. We don't have any money. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, former Cubs president Theo Epstein was hired by Major League Baseball as a consultant for on-field matters. He's going to serve as a consultant basically to help them with rule changes and create more action and pace of play.
I love this decision. I think we talked about this back in September when we reported that Theo would be stepping down.
That's right.
And not going to fill out the last year of his deal. He has even acknowledged at his season-ending press conference that I'm one of the guys who is the reason that the game is broken that we have to fix because of our reliance on analytics.
I asked him directly in our last interview with Theo, what else do you want to accomplish in baseball? And he didn't really want to say, but now he wants to be a bigger part of baseball and its change. He does understand that the game has to be able to be different at some point. And baseball's fine the way it is, but you can always have change. And so if Theo's part of that, that's fine. Because that's going to try to grow the game in the sport even more so. So I got no problem with a progressive thinker like Theo being in the front office. I can't say the same for the commissioner, but Theo in there makes it a lot different.
Well said. Danny.
Gentlemen, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson wants input on the hire of the offensive coordinator. He told reporters on a video conference yesterday, quote, "I think it's vital, it's critical, super significant, obviously, that I'm part of that process."
Oh, unlike Deshaun Watson, he's actually part of the process, huh? How about that?
How about that?
What do you? I would say that for someone who is the face of the franchise, he should be there in the front office being able to have something to say. That's why it was such a disconnect with the Deshaun Watson thing, where he suggests a couple of guys that could really help the organization, and they don't even interview him. So I think that because of the infrastructure with Seattle, I think that they will heed the advice of Russell Wilson.
And I think they should. And I believe, Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, you're a bigger Cuddy expert than I am. He had some input at times, like when they brought Jeremy Bates here and different guys. Look, if you're going to hitch your wagon to Jay Cutler, Russell Wilson, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, they should have input on the offensive coordinator. You're bringing a guy in to build your offense around me anyway.
By the way, if we have the pool of teams that's going to get to the Super Bowl and win it, I'm already out of that pool. I had Seattle winning the Super Bowl.
I'm still alive. I had Seattle in the NFC. We're coming out of the NFC,
yeah.
But I have Buffalo winning it. I'm still alive for another day or two.
You know what? I'm glad that Russell has something to say about it, because, Danny, I'm so perplexed about Seattle. I thought they had everything they needed. It was the most talented team, I thought, offensively going into the season, and it didn't happen. So there you go.
There you go.
Gentlemen, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, says it would, quote, be cheaper to shut the door on the NHL season than it would be to play it.
Yeah, look.
Jerk.
Yeah, that's just a dumb comment. Dumb. Just say, guess what? We all know we're in a pandemic. We're going to find our way through it. And anything that the league can do to help each individual franchise, we will use any means at our disposal. Stop crying poor. Stop.
I just don't like the commissioner of the sport saying something like that, Cap. Listen, like, we all love sports. We're glad, even through the pandemic, that we actually are able to see some sports on our TV. But when you are openly saying that it would be better if we were just to close the doors just because you want to save money, that's tone deaf to the fan.
Well said.
Every fan is just trying to figure out how to make ends meet, you know, through this pandemic, you know, companies shutting down, trying to figure out how I could be able to pay my kids to, you know, whether it's bills or past bills, whatever it is. And I just think that it just shows how tone deaf that he is. He's just not very good as commissioner of his sport.
Danny.
Gentlemen, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he's going to be a guest host on Jeopardy during the offseason. The show is using interim host to replace Alex Trebek, who you know died of cancer back in November. Aaron Rodgers won Celebrity Jeopardy back in 2015.
Which bear would you want as a guest host on Celebrity? On Celebrity Jeopardy?
That's a really...
Which bear would you choose?
Akeem Hicks.
Be entertaining, that's for sure.
Yeah, because
right?
He doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care whether he's on a live radio show, Waddle Sylvie, or if he's dealing with the media on a Zoom, he'll go right at you.
That's kind of funny. I didn't think, Akeem Hicks, yeah.
That's who I'd pick.
I was thinking, like, no, Khalil Mack would be too quiet.
Tariq Cohen?
You know what? He's very entertaining on social media.
He is.
He's like a fan on social media watching the Bears.
He is.
So, Tariq Cohen would be a good choice. David Montgomery?
Kyle Long, if he was still playing, but he's retired.
I like that Aaron Rodgers is getting out there, and he's letting you know that he loves the game Jeopardy. It's one thing to be a thorn in our side, but he's got a personality to him. Got the handlebar mustache, and no matter what, he's very talented. He's a Hall of Famer, but also likes to show some personality. I hear him from time to time on the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, he's great.
I like that he could be loose and still be able to be effective.
He's great.
It stinks that he's on the Packers. It's so hard not to like him. And all that attitude.
Oh, that's
Do you
true.
Feel the same about LeBron, Danny?
No, I don't think LeBron's as entertaining as Aaron Rodgers in that way. LeBron's a different character.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is more of a character. All right, guys, Trevor Noah, the host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central, mm-hmm. He just dropped $27.5 million on 11,000-square-foot hillside home in Los Angeles, Bel Air, to be specific.
Wow. I've never been to Bel Air. What's that? Obviously, it's nice. Danny goes there all the time. I've never seen it.
I saw the picture, and first of all, maybe I'm just naive. I just didn't know how much money that he was making, Trevor Noah.
Danny read the salaries, and I was like, oh, God.
I mean, I didn't. First of all, is his show ever number one in the cable ratings? I don't think it is. I think you got to go through all the news channels first.
Yeah, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, all that stuff.
You got to go through that first, and then you go through the networks. And I don't ever know if that's ever. But I guess he's getting what Chappelle would have been making if he was stayed at Comedy Central, right? Is that Chappelle money, Danny? that he's getting.
They read a Chappelle thing that was just mind-blowing.
Chappelle makes about $20 million a year. Trevor Noah's salary is $16 million a year. Do either of you watch that show,
The Daily Show, ever? I do not.
I've seen the YouTube clips.
Like, I like Trevor Noah. He's a cool, interesting guy. But, like, I don't know anybody that says, boy, did you see The Daily Show last night? That's not part of everyday conversation.
For some, that's their new. That's people's news every night.
You said Chappelle $20 million a year. Didn't you say $20 million a comedy special?
Well, that's with his Netflix deal. But when he was back with Comedy Central, it was
$20 million
deal.
A year.
Wow, that's
so.
That's
like I'm looking at the picture Danny has up. If you're watching on Twitch. There's a picture up there of Trevor Noah's Bel Air mansion. I just don't feel like I could be in my boxers laying around in there.
Yes, you could.
Oh, you're on a hillside. Nobody can see you. You have no
neighbors. I'm not talking about that part. It's just like so freaking nice.
How much home do you need? Do you need a $27 million home? Do you need that?
No.
For you and Mindy?
No. But I mean, I guess if I had, he obviously
has
got more things going than just the Comedy Central job. So if he's making that kind of glue and he can afford it, God bless him.
Everybody go to TMZ.com and just look up that Trevor Noah that piece that we're talking about. His home is just spectacular.
Oh, God. I mean, it's...
For Comedy Central. Danny, for Comedy Central. That's why I'm a little bit blown away by it, because it's not front and center for me necessarily as a comedy news show.
How many square feet did you say? 11,000?
11,000 square feet.
Okay, and how many... Like, I've been to your house. How many square feet do you think your house is?
Well, I know that's a personal question, the size of my house.
Mine, I think, is 2,500.
Yeah. That's all the house
it's
you
like
need,
It's like kind of standard.
Yeah.
11,000? How many kids does he have? I mean, is it just him? Is he married?
I would like an 11,000-square-foot home if I could have one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
For the Well, you got a lot of kids.
Dude, to go to be able to disappear, nobody to find me. You know, you got a normal size home. Things accumulate. You've got to put it someplace. To have just a wing of the house where you could put your wife's crap. Sign me up.
It's like Deion Sanders' home. He's like in a golf cart. You got to go to the other side of the house. He had a golf cart,
right,
to be able to go to the
warm
other
the
side
helicopter
of the
up. I got to get to the other side of the house.
How about that? I mean, it is beautiful. There's no question about that.
All right, best trends with the amazingly talented Carmen J. DeFalco next.
Cap J. Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, time to play best trends, and we'll get to that in 1 second. Liam Hendricks announced his number today.
Getcha.
He will be pitching as number 31.
31.
On the Chicago White Sox.
Let's go, Liam Hendricks.
In addition, today is the International Signing Day, and the number one prospect is from Cuba. And he signed with the Chicago White Sox for $2 million. The Cubs got the number six player for $3 million.
Or as they say these days, pasta party.
It's a pasta party. Thank you, Jason. All right, Carm.
Yes. Hey, guys.
Well, hold on a second. What is it, JR? You want him to move in a little closer? Is that what Carm?
Who, me?
Yeah, if you slide a touch to your left, everybody on Twitch can see
you. Oh, sorry. My bad. How's that?
Thanks, J Hood.
There you go.
My temperature was 97.5. Don't worry. I think I'm healthy.
6 feet. We're all right.
JR is the Quentin Tarantino of Twitch.
Well, he
for those
is.
Of you that don't know.
That's for sure. He's like Seinfeld in the back of the movie, bootlegging the... the action film. I don't even remember the name of it, but
so my 10,000 star whatever play.
10 dime. Geez.
I like Buffalo very much this week.
Is it your
minus
star player? You like it?
No, it's my best play I've had in a long time.
I like the Ravens actually this weekend.
Side bet.
I'll make a side bet with you. Sure.
$20 bill.
Sandwich bet, Waddle?
Your sandwich bet.
That's always good.
I actually like the Ravens. I just like the way they can run the ball against the Buffalo defense that has really struggled to stop the run most of the year. Buffalo, in most of the metrics, was in the bottom third of the league in rush defense, and it's what the Ravens do best. Now, the weather could be a factor. Lamar playing in the snow for a first time potentially could be a factor. You guys know John Harbaugh has now won more road playoff games than any coach in history.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Some of that is opportunity, but he won his eighth last week, and John Harbaugh is now 9-3 against the number as an underdog in the postseason. 9-3. In the Harbaugh era in Baltimore, all games postseason and regular season, the Ravens cover 60% of their games as an underdog. Small underdog here, but I actually like the Ravens going in there. Look, the Colts dominated the statistics in that game, and I mean thoroughly dominated them. Every single one across the board. Yards, passing yards, time of possession, 9 of their 10 drives crossed midfield. They totally dominated the stats in that game. They just didn't win the game. I really like the Ravens this weekend.
Where is the public money as far as the over-under? What is the better play with this? That's what my, I guess my big question.
In that game?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where most of the money is in that game. My guess is most of it is probably on the over. Most people are over players anyway, and both these teams can really score. We know Buffalo can. I don't know that the snow is going to be anything. You know, and Tracy joined us yesterday. This is not going to be some sort of a blizzard condition where it's going to totally impede any sort of movement of the football. Josh Allen could probably throw the ball through a hurricane anyway with his arm. I don't even know that it matters. And the running game of Baltimore might be able to do just the same. Look, there's probably going to be some snow. We could see some wind chill temperatures that Tracy said that'll drop it into, you know, the high teens, low 20s. So it's certainly not going to be a perfect game to play in. But most bettors are over bettors anyway, Hoodie. And I think when you look at the way both these two teams can score, I wouldn't be surprised. You got big totals across the board other than the Green Bay game, really. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if most of them do go over.
The Browns and Chiefs, Cleveland is getting, where you shop, 10.5.
Yeah.
It's pretty constant at 10. Total is 57.
That's a big number.
I like the Browns with the points. I'm not saying they're going to go in there and win, but I do think they have the ability to run the ball and keep it close.
Well, KC's just 7-9 against the number this year, guys. Now, some of that's a little deceiving because they've been asked to cover big numbers. You know, the Chiefs covered once in their last 8 games. Once. They laid a touchdown. They laid more than a touchdown, actually. Not even counting just 7 point spreads. They laid more than a touchdown 10 times this season. This will be the 11th time in 17 games that the Chiefs lay more than a touchdown. They went just 3-7 against the number in those 10 games. Mm-hmm. I think you're probably right, Cap. The other trend here to keep note, the problem is they beat the snot out of everybody in the playoffs last year, and they trailed in every game. They still covered every game. But the big trend here for the number one seeds, something important to look at, if you go back to 2004, so that's a substantial amount of games and a substantial amount of data. Number one seeds, this is always the question, like, what does the week off do? And for the Chiefs, they didn't play anybody in week 17. It's really 2 weeks off. Number one seeds since 04 are 11-22-1 in the divisional round against the number. 11-22-1. That's how much the dogs thrive against the spread when they play the number one seed in the divisional round. So I think you might be right on that one, Cap.
I'm thinking it's going to be a layoff for me. I will say this. That we know that the Chiefs' defense is not the Steelers' defense, where I don't expect a 28-0 lead for the Browns in the first half or the first quarter, right? I don't think that's happening.
Even if it is, I mean, think about last year. What was the first game when the Titans went in there? What were they down? 21-24?
Yeah. 24 to nothing.
Or yeah. No, that wasn't the, yeah, that was the Titan game, right?
Yeah, it was 24-0.
No, that was the Houston game. I'm sorry. That was the first game against Houston. Yeah, it was like 24-0.
Well, he knew it. He was fake punting.
Does it even matter?
Yeah,
I mean, even if they are up 28-0.
Yeah, well, it would be the over for me. My play.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
The weather's going to be good in Arrowhead, so we could see some points in that game for sure.
Did you watch the trend of the Buccaneers-Saints through the week? Was it always 3?
3.5 it opened. It stayed not much there, right? Movement, a little money. It's hard to beat a team 3 times. Waddle, Yurko will all tell you that. Hard to beat a team 3 times. Tom Brady's been in this league for 21 years. You know how many times he's lost to the same team twice in one season?
How many?
Once this year to the Saints. Can they beat him 3 times? I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
There's your play there, by the way.
There you go. All right, Carm, thank you very much.
All right, boys.
You're a good man.
Cheers.
We'll crosstalk with Carm and Yurk in 2 minutes.